Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This is so exciting when you think about, you know, of course we're not always excited, but we're excited. When I think about how these shirts just kind of stick out. We've been working out so much, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
We've been working out so much that our...
The abs, it just broke them out.
Yeah. Mine are all protected.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine are too.
I just noticed something was kind of like...
Did you?
Oklahoma, where the winds are. Is that shirt? That's a shirt, right, from
you
Oklahoma?
You say that a lot. Is that, yeah.
It just pops like a tablecloth in Oklahoma. I don't know what it is.
Well, your polka dots are poking out.
Hey,
quite
we're
a
on.
Bit.
Welcome. Hey, we are talking about a biblical worldview. Doesn't we're going to say that
and
way?
Not really, but we are about to talk about a biblical
worldview. Yes, we really are. The shirt's not the biblical worldview.
No.
That's Oklahoma. Hello, Oklahoma. So, listen, I think about Bishop Harry Jackson.
Yes.
You know, he's talking to George Barna. And George Barna is coming out. George, we just ask you to come out all the time. We've been reading your books, but when he speaks with such authority because he's done so well with studies and everything.
He has the data.
But I remember I was at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. They're pre-opening, and I was with a crowd, and Bishop Harry Jackson was with a crowd, and we've been, you know, Bishop Jackson's just been a light to America for
so long,
especially during dark times.
Yes.
He spoke truth. And man, when I saw him, and I saw him over there, I'm like, "Oh, get out!" And I gave him the biggest hugs. I'm thinking, like, he's so, you know, faithful and just
he's
honest.
He's a truth bearer, no matter what.
Truth bearer and a true brother and an apostle in the Lord, I believe, or definitely a pastor. And it's just out there focusing on all the mountains of culture. And when we saw each other, it was like, you know, a reunion, even though that was the first time we actually physically met.
Right.
But my heart just went out to him because I was so grateful. I mean, and it helps to encourage us to think about, okay, we need to keep speaking for truth because we're doing just like our brother, Bishop Harry Jackson and George Barna by speaking truth. And today, we're talking about a biblical worldview or how do you see the world? It's not a scientific program. It's just like, how do you see it? So, John, when you think about the world yourself, how do you think that people see the world?
Well, when I think about people seeing the world, I think a lot of the world right now, people at least in the church, but I think at large, they're seeing it from a cultural perspective. What's happening on TV? What's happening in social media? I don't think that we have...
That's a bad view.
That's a bad view. I don't believe it's a biblical worldview. And how you see the world says everything about you.
Right.
How you make decisions. How do you determine what's right or wrong? What's insignificant or significant? What, you know, how should you choose and make decisions in your life? If the television media, if television programs, if videos and musicians are leading the day with culture and they're affecting the way you see the world, then you're not seeing the world in a proper way. And that's important for us as Christians.
Yes.
And they're going to talk about this in the program. They're going to share
truly,
this more.
And you think about it, because it can have eternal consequences.
It will have eternal consequences.
Yeah, benefits or consequences. So it's very important to really listen today. John, introduce this first segment.
Well, this is Bishop Harry Jackson interviewing George Barna on his television show, The Hope Connection. And
Barna is with the Barna Group.
Yes.
For years. He's been doing statistical studies of everything.
Yes, and particularly of the church, the state of the church. And they have the data, the research, they formulate these reports, actual books as a result of it. But he's asking a very specific question. He says, measure. He's asking him to measure. And he can do this because he has the numbers. Measure where the church is today and how much of the church has a biblical worldview. Watch this.
A lot of different ways you could approach the answer to that question. I think one of the things we need to look at is the Christian church in America having influence on the way that people think and behave? And one of the ways of answering that is to try to figure out, well, how many people have a biblical worldview? If the church is about teaching the truths of God and helping people incorporate those into their life, that's what a biblical worldview does. That worldview is something that everybody has because it helps us to make sense of the world and to know how to respond to it. But not everybody has a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
So we just finished a big national research study where we were evaluating what percentage of people have one. And just to bottom line it, what we discovered is only 10% of adults in America have a biblical worldview. And that's really about the integration of beliefs and behavior into a lifestyle that imitates Christ. Mm-hmm. So 10%. But then when we look at it generationally, we see that things are actually getting worse as time goes on. If we look at the boomer and the builder generations, the two older generations in America, people 50 and older, 16% have a biblical worldview. If we look at the next younger generation, the baby busters or Gen X, mm-hmm. what we find is only 7% of them wow. have a biblical worldview. But then when we look at the millennial generation, adults who are 18 to 30 years of age, only 4% have a biblical worldview.
That's so powerful. I think the first thing that jumps out that we got to realize, no matter who you are, you have a worldview.
No doubt.
He's talking about a biblical worldview. So then everybody, no matter who you are, you have one.
Sure.
So it's not like I got to find one.
Right. It's the lens in which yeah. we interpret the world.
So you got to ask the question is, what kind of worldview do I have?
Right.
And you think, well, he talks specifically, right? You can see he's saying like only 10%. You can see this right here. Only 10% of adults in America have a God view. When you say biblical worldview, you're talking about a God view.
Yeah.
And think about this. So think about this, John, that you know, either God is real or he's not, and he is. Either he sent his son or he didn't, and he did, which means everything you do and how you relate to what he says, that he created the universe, he sent his son, that this is huge. It's not like some religion. This is the creator of the universe, and he's saying, I created this thing. You need to understand I created it. I created you. I love you. I have a plan for yeah. your life. And only 10% understand the significance, the very air that we breathe. I think about Colossians. He says, everything was created by him, for him, and he's over all things. And in John, he tells about in him we have our being, and that literally when we breathe, John, it's God allowing yeah. us to breathe.
You know, so I've heard it said that the most important thing about you is what you believe about God.
Yeah, what you think about him.
Yeah.
Because it's eternal, right?
Absolutely.
If you don't think Jesus is the Son of God,
you're going to miss it. Listen, yes. that's the population today in America, I believe, is 330 million
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
That's 33 million people in our country that have a biblical worldview. Are you wondering right. why we have so much
33
clashes?
Million out of 350 million.
Yes.
By the way, Canada only has like 37 million folks. People try yeah. to compare us to the yeah. two. I mean, if we'll get it right, the whole world will respond. This is a very large country in regards to a Christian nation.
This is true.
Biblical foundation this nation was founded on. I think, yeah. what's the Builders out of Texas, Boots, and you got History of America, Constitution.
Oh, Barton. Wall Builders?
Wall Builders, and his name is Barton, that he said specifically about this nation, David Barton, that the Bible is one of the founding documents.
No doubt.
Of our nation. And so they actually edited that program, and they wouldn't even let us broadcast that program. They shut it down, but they didn't want to know that the Bible is part of the founding documents of America.
They just found a letter from yeah. George Washington, recent right mm-hmm. now. They wrote to someone else, mm-hmm. And in this letter that they're getting ready to auction off,
right.
he credits God for the Constitution. He credits God. So yeah. you cannot remove God, you know, from the founding of this nation. But it's interesting that he defines what a biblical worldview.
Oh, that's good.
48:52.
The question is, help me out.
Yeah, what is it?
What is the biblical worldview? How does God see things?
Right. It's the integration between beliefs and behaviors into a lifestyle that imitates Christ. Why that's so important, because we have a lot of people who say they're believers and they say they believe.
Can you say that again?
Sure. It's the integration, a biblical worldview. It's the integration.
Which is bringing everything together.
Bringing everything together.
Your
between
work, your
beliefs
life.
And behaviors.
Oh, but between beliefs, what I believe.
Right.
And what I do.
And what you do and behaviors into a lifestyle that imitates Christ.
So it's like who I am and what I do.
Right.
Who do.
Yeah.
If what I'm doing is who I really am, yeah. and I have a lifestyle that kind of unfolds because of what I believe.
Yeah. Right. That imitates Christ. So we say can say we believe the Bible. We can say we go to church. We can say that we understand certain things. But until what we say we believe matches with our actions, what we do, it ain't really happening.
So I think about this. So if we're eating in a restaurant, and maybe this particular family, when they're at home, they pray over their food and whatever.
Right.
They don't, when they get public, they don't honor, they don't bring him up again.
Right.
And they don't pray at that meal in the restaurant.
Right.
And it's like that you have a different worldview when you come out
sure.
of your house.
Or yeah. it's that person who goes to church on a Sunday morning and they're so for Jesus and they're yeah. they're shouting and worshiping and amening.
Dancing around.
But the minute they show up to work Monday morning and the word Jesus comes around, they act like they don't even know.
It's like a sleeper cell. Nobody knows that's a believer, right?
Nobody knows that's a believer. Right, wouldn't believe that person Sunday morning was amening and dancing around. You know?
Right. And I think about behaviors, isn't it? We have to go to a break. We're going to talk more about this. But the thing about it is that your behavior, your fruit, Jesus would say, what you're doing at the workplace, you would be the one, you wouldn't be going like, somebody needs to put some more coffee in this coffee pot. I mean, you're the one going like, you're there, it's empty, you're going to fill it up. People know you by your fruit.
Well, it says lifestyle that imitates Christ. Christ served, right?
Served, loved, he cared, he listened, and it's just so important. This is a very important program to be able to understand that, think about it, this could be a flip in your life around, because we're about to talk about something in a moment that by the time you're 13 years old, you already have your worldview. And think about what the schools and the education system, that's why at VFN Kingdom Business, VFNKB.com, we talk about, we've got to get into these mountains, the education mountain, the faith mountain, the business mountain, government mountain, and impact it, because by the time a child is 13, we'll talk about that, they've already developed their view, and they're just going to mature in it. Mm-hmm. And here we've given that over to the education mountain, who many people in education are not for the government, they're not for God, they're not for you as a family, and they're not definitely not for a biblical worldview.
No doubt.
And they're literally pulling that out. They're having people, you know, be arrested for praying at school or fire because they prayed at school. That's a school shifting from a biblical worldview. We're talking about a worldview. Think about it, a biblical worldview. Yeah. How God expects us to see the world, how it really is. It's not like optional, it really is. I think about Hebrews chapter 1 when he says you first have to understand that God created the universe and everything that's in it before you can get to the point of having faith in him. Mm-hmm. You know, he is God. And
Period.
And so we just had before the break about only 10% of the church.
10% of adult America, adults in America.
Not necessarily. You have understand that God created the universe and that we talked about what a biblical worldview is. And so talk to us about baby boomers. What is it about baby boomers?
Well, listen to this. George says that baby boomers, people 50 and older, 16% of them have a biblical worldview. Okay, so that's more than the 10%. Typically, you see this in an older generation. But Generation X, 7% have a biblical worldview. But this is where it just gets so disheartening, is that millennials age 18 to 30 years, 4% have a biblical worldview.
That's so 4%. Important to understand, because by the time you're 13, and people keep on trying to teach things they should have taught before 13, after 13, and the person has to make a decision what they're going to do. That's why it's so important for you to serve God, give your heart to God, make him the Lord, Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and get up under and related to a church so that your whole family's exposed
absolutely
to the righteous view, the biblical worldview, to understand that at an early age, from an early age.
And probably one of the biggest, you know, influencers of a person's worldview, because it starts at 18 months, is parents.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing in your home that models a behavior that says you are imitating Christ? You know, one of the things that confuses children a lot is for parents to say one thing and then do the complete opposite. And so we want to be those examples for our children, for our grandchildren, that we're following the Lord, not just in word, but in deed. But, you know, we're talking about worldview. George Barna really unpacks this and tells us specifically what is he talking about, what was they're doing in their research as they explain what is a worldview. Take a look.
You know, people hear the term worldview and they think, oh no, we're about to enter into the scholarly zone.
Exactly.
You know? And that's not what this is at all. Mm-hmm. All we're trying to do is to understand a person's worldview, which is what helps you to make your decisions. Mm. It's the filter that you take into daily life.
Okay.
And essentially, a worldview's key element is it defines for you what you believe to be good or bad, right or wrong, significant, insignificant. It helps you make the choices mm-hmm. that you're going to make from moment to moment. And what we're suggesting is that God knew we'd be making those choices, and so he gave us his word that gives us many, many principles about how to think so that we make appropriate choices, choices that are best for us, choices that are best for others, mm-hmm. choices that advance his agenda. And so we were looking really not for theology 706 kind of stuff.
Oh,
this,
okay.
This is Bible 101.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah, it's helpful, but it's even more discouraging in a way, because when you say, well, only 10% of Americans even get the basics of what the scriptures teach, I think that challenges some of our thinking about how we do ministry.
It's not complicated.
No.
It's Bible 101.
Right.
And when you think about one of the statistics about, you know, those that, I forget, one particular man said this, it was an evangelist years ago, that I could find 100 men who would die for the Bible.
It was Jonathan Edwards.
He said something like, I could find 100 men that could die for the right to have a Bible, but only 10 men that would read it.
Mm.
And the fact is that...
And probably two that would believe it, right?
Yeah, right, and believe it.
Live it.
Well, I think about even in America, you have, you know, all these Bibles from all the different places you can get the Word of God. But the statistics are, what, the 3%?
Yes.
19% or so actually have a Bible and read it, but only 3% actually have a biblical worldview in regards to it, because they listen to what God's saying and reading, and they actually do what God
do
said.
Right.
That's 3%.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, not at all.
And so that's what you always hear us talking about. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, because, first of all, innocent bloodshed is going to prevent, you know, God from moving in our land, which is abortion's ending as we speak, I believe. And that, secondly, is that a great awakening is a DNA change of a nation.
Yeah.
It's not revival, you still keep the DNA, but when God shifts in, all of a sudden, you know, bars become, you know, church gatherings,
right.
and governors become Christians and dedicate their statement. It's going to have to take that kind of impact, which I believe God has a plan for America.
Yeah.
But we have to have a biblical worldview in our nation.
Yeah. Smith Wigglesworth, who said, and I heard this through Lauren Cunningham, that we will have an awesome move of God, who's basically prophesying this, when we can combine a love of the Word and the love of the Spirit together.
Yes.
That we'll see a massive end time, you know,
right,
revival, great awakening.
And he's with Youth with a Mission.
Yes, YWAM. So in Barna's research, basically they were asking some very simple questions. This is Bible 101. Like, you know, do you...
Bible 101. It's not like you said Babel.
No, okay, Bible.
Bible
101. Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that the Bible is true in all the life principle it teaches? Do you believe that Jesus lived a sinless life? Do you believe that Satan exists, or is he just a symbol of evil? Do you believe the Holy Spirit exists, or is it just a symbol of God's presence or purity? Now listen to this. This question they asked, what do you believe the best indicator of success in life is?
Wow.
They gave them 9 different choices. We'll just read a few.
Okay.
Is it about advancement in my career? Is it about what I'm able to buy or acquire? Is it about my personal happiness? Or 4, is it about my commitment and obedience to God?
19%
said it was about their commitment and obedience to God. That's how
they
define success.
Who are they
success.
Talking to? Who are the people group? The church.
Well, this...
Regular church attenders?
Yeah, this is everybody.
Okay, this is...
Because you're going to hear from George Barna now.
So this is Americans
this
in
is
general.
This is Americans in general, 19%.
Right.
But
that's why people look at us.
Off.
That's when we talk to folks. And we're talking about, you know, if you just spend time with God and you abide with the Lord, things are going to be great. And they're going, they because of the worldview, the inaccurate worldview, they think, I don't have time to abide with God or spend time with God. I got to get out of here and do this thing that makes me successful. And it's the one who spends time with God who's successful, and it's the one who runs after things that ends up depressed.
That's right.
And running.
Because that new TV, that new house, that promotion, that new marriage or that
doesn't
baby
you're
thinking to have, it's not going to do it.
The third relationship, you got kids all over the place.
It's not going
to
happen.
It makes me think about, you know, I know we got to go to this segment, but, you know, abiding. That,
yes.
You know, we have a free abiding plan for you. John 15, Jesus is saying, the Son of God, who God sent, who told us how things are, biblical worldview, Jesus said, apart from abiding in me, you cannot succeed. Nothing will happen.
Nothing.
But if you abide in me and I in you, you can ask whatever you want from God to create the universe, and it will actually be done for you. And a lot of people want to abide, John, but they just don't have a plan. But guess what? We have
We've
a simple plan for you. It's free. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org. See it on your screen, and request your simple abiding plan. It'll come to you right away. And John, we have people from all around the world, and we just love hearing from you guys. that are signing up to abide with the Lord to get this abiding plan for, I could name every country in the world almost that's coming from. And we see you, we're excited, and get it. It's iabide.org. And you spend time with God, with Jesus, you're going to get the biblical worldview, because we talk about spending time in the Word, hiding His Word in your heart, doing what He says, talking to Him, listening to Him. It's just exciting. iabide.org.
Get your plan today. Listen, yes. We're going to go straight to George Barnes. He compares the statistics between those who regularly attend church and those who do not. Let's see if there's a difference. Take a look.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why when we do research and we compare people who go to church regularly mm-hmm. with people who don't go at all, mm-hmm. we don't see all that much difference in the behaviors of the two groups. Wow. It's because they think the same.
Whoa. Did I hear what I thought I heard?
Jesus. You heard it.
Whether you're going to church and spending time listening to a minister preach whatever, I guess, and whether you never go to church, never been in a church listening to, in church really is somebody, you're gathering with somebody's preaching and teaching the word and discipling you, and there's no difference between the two, do you say?
No difference.
Whoa. Is there any, no difference?
No difference. This is why I just had a conversation with someone who was really encouraged about their young person being involved in youth and all these different things. And it's like, it's not about going and hearing so much as it is about spending individual time abiding with Jesus in His Word. That's what's going to transform your life. Because
James said, he said, a person who actually hears what God is saying, hears the Word, and goes off and doesn't do it, it's like a person who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. But a person
doesn't do it.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. Looks like it's like a person who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what they saw. But a person who looks intently into God's Word and does what it says is blessed in all they do.
Yes.
So God has blessings in store for
His
creation, but it's about abiding and spending that time with Him. So you can see where the enemy's trying to come in and pull this biblical worldview out. And it's about getting the Word of God in your life, in your home, in your workplace, everywhere. You know, right?
I know one of the things that's super important to us, and we've been sharing this for years, is the need and the importance to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Jesus didn't say go sing songs.
No.
He didn't say get a bigger band. He didn't say get a hair product. He didn't say get a bigger building. He didn't say get a stucco crystal cathedral or a house. He said make disciples.
He didn't even say make converts.
No, he didn't.
No, he said make disciples. It's not about gathering folks as much as it is imparting to them and training them so they can walk in the ways of God and be with God.
Let's go to this next video. This is powerful.
Yeah, I think maybe the most important thing for all of us to understand about this process is that a person's worldview starts developing at 18 months of age. And by the age of 13, it's almost fully formed.
Yep.
So after the age of 13, that worldview during the teen years is generally just being refined around the edges. Mm-hmm. By the time somebody reaches their early to mid-20s, they're in essence an evangelist for their own worldview. Because if you watch people and study their behavior, what you find is that we're constantly trying to persuade people to do what we do, to believe what we believe, because we think we've got it right. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is by the age of 13, we had digested so much information from the culture around us, from our families, from the government, from the media, from the schools, from our friends. All these things are contributing bits and pieces that we're trying to filter through. We're trying to make sense of and say, does that make sense to me? Is that useful to me? Do I want to be like that? And so by the time we're 13, we've made almost all of those decisions. So what that says to me is part of the reason why most Americans don't have a biblical worldview is because we don't really focus on children and the development of that worldview. You think about the typical church in America. When do we focus on trying to get people to understand biblical principles that are going to shape those kind of decisions? It's when they're adults. Mm-hmm. And we can't wait to get them in the sanctuary and preach to them and have them take notes and come back to Sunday school and go to small groups and we're going to give you more and more information. American adults are swimming in information. But the difficulty is that nobody's connecting the dots.
Listen, I want to encourage you. I was 25 years old before I got a biblical worldview. So you can be 55, 75, 13, or whatever. It's the moment that you got to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, He begins to impart into you His Word. Don't think I'm 14 and I have a biblical worldview. It's over for me. But once you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, You invite him into your life. He begins to reveal the biblical worldview himself. He created things. He loves you so much, God, that he gave his son to die for you, to pay the price for you, so that you could be brought into the family, so that he could talk to you and reveal his secrets to you. And these are part of the secrets. Understanding God created the universe. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. Listen, we share some of our testimonies, how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. You can go there and find out how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life and hear our stories right there. I want to encourage you right now that to go there and to understand, you know, don't be sad that you don't have a biblical worldview. Get excited that you just found out and now you can get one. And if you're not connected to a place, I want to encourage you that you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, Vine Fellowship Network, anywhere in the world. You can connect to the VFN Dream Center, where we actually encourage people, inspire people, and help disciple them when they meet the Lord to know the Lord they met. And so it's so exciting. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you for those that are watching and listening. God, I speak encouragement over them. Lord, I pray that you would move them past their distractions that's keeping them from actually focusing on anything, that they would get their focus on you, Father God, that you would reveal yourself, Lord, as they abide with you, that you show yourself to them, Father God. And we pray right now, Father God, for those that need to make you the Lord of their life, Lord, that you would touch them right now. In Jesus' name. And Father God, we ask you to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. And don't forget how easy it is. How easy is it? Loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.